The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 3rd through Sunday, June 9th, 2024. The commentary for June was written by Philip M. Beyer, who has a passion for serving the unhoused, incarcerated, addicted, and missions in Haiti. Philip is a retired business person, author, and avid gardener who lives in Tallahassee, Florida, with Jeannie, his wife of 52 years, and retired archdeacon of the Diocese of Florida. They have two children and two grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, June 3rd, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, Verse 44a. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden. Here's the commentary. I felt estranged from Jesus and went to a retreat center for solitude. I strode to their chapel with my detailed two-page agenda to find Jesus. Inside, I found a stranger in the aisle. I whispered, "If you want to be alone, I'll leave." His eyes filled with tears. My wife just died. This was our special place. I put my hand on his shoulder. "Tell me about her." He wiped his eyes, and we talked for a long while, ending with a hug. I rushed to my next agenda item, a meditative massage. Minutes into the massage, a bell rang. The therapist sighed, "I'll be right back." On return, she looked distraught. I asked, "Are you okay?" She shook her head. "No, my mother lives upstairs. She has pancreatic cancer. When the bell rings, she needs more painkillers." I offered my hand. "How about we pray?" Our prayers were cut short by the bell. "I better go," she sighed, and left crying. The treasure I found, Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, was at hand, not in solitude, not in my agenda, but fully immersed in human sorrow and pain. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage for this day, Matthew 13, verses 44 through 52. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Have you understood all this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." And the moving forward question for this Monday, June 3rd, is, where do you find Jesus? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, June 4th, the day on which we celebrate Pope John the 23rd. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 13, verse 54b. Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Born blind, now aged 83, Evanson was ancient by Haitian standards. For years he listened intently at church, immersed in Scripture. Villagers marveled at his knowledge. How did this blind man who's lived among us get such learning? But what they couldn't understand, they rejected, labeling Evanson crazy. Neighboring villagers walked miles for medical care by our mission team. Before receiving medical care, the traveler sought Evanson. Why do people seek him first? I asked the traveler. Because he sees what others don't. He's a holy man. In his village, Evanson was rejected, but those from afar believed. In today's gospel, those who knew Jesus the best didn't know him. Their unbelief pushed Jesus away, along with Jesus' wisdom and healing power. Jesus, the revered storyteller and healer, was honored, except in his own village. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for today from Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house." And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, in your unbelief and indifference, do you reject Jesus? Do you push Jesus and those marginalized by society to the fringes of your life? Now we turn to the commentary for Wednesday, June 5th, the feast day of St. Boniface. It begins with a passage from Ecclesiastes in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 1. "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven." My wife, our two preteens, and another family were on a Colorado River rafting trip. Our guide suddenly fell out of the raft, screaming at me, "Don't steer!" By that time, the boat was climbing 5-foot walls of water and being slammed from every direction. My reaction? Steer the boat, which proved futile. The river was in control. Unaware of the situation, my boatmates were exhilarated while I was panicked. I felt the river's overwhelming power and my own powerlessness. When the river calmed, our guide caught up. My raft mates' eyes turned to me as if I had guided them to safety. I shrugged, just went with the flow. Our lives constantly change, often unexpectedly, and in opposites. Tears and laughter, anxiety and serenity, suffering and healing, death and resurrection. As the Ecclesiastes writer observes, for each change there is a purpose under heaven. The one enduring element is the everlasting flow of God's love, God's sovereignty. And now I'm going to read this full passage, very well-known passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before Him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. And God seeks out what has gone by. And the moving forward question for this day is, amid change, are you aware of God's everlasting love in your life? The commentary for Thursday, June 6th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 16. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. 40 men attending a retreat gathered for worship in the cathedral garden. They heard movement behind them and watched as some 30 homeless people maneuvered suitcases clattering over brick pathways. The priest held out his arms. Come join us. The circle widened. During communion, more worshipers appeared. Those on the fringes became enmeshed in one circle, one body. There was new understanding when Father Bill held up the bread and gazed around him. This is given for all, bread for 40, fed 100. Lessons during the retreat were being acted out live in the garden. At worship's end, Father Bill hugged one of the guests and thundered, "The peace of the Lord be with you." After worship, the multitude broke bread again, sharing a meal in the shaded garden. There was enough for all, even enough for the sojourners to take with them. Months later, the cathedral opened a feeding ministry, followed by a culinary school. Those who were once hungry now feed the hungry. They're multitudes. And now I'll read the full gospel from Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there to a boat, to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, who are you welcoming into your circle? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, June 7th. It begins with a passage from Matthew 14, verse 29. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. I give kudos to Peter for his willingness to step out of the boat. Peter is maligned for not having enough faith, but he knew where Jesus was in the darkness and chaos. Peter stepped out, willing to risk. My wife Jeannie is a deacon in the Episcopal Church. She's always in the front row with her hand up before Jesus can finish asking, "Whom shall I send?" I'm in the back row, slumped down, trying to be invisible. Jeannie's willing to be first in the water while I'm white-knuckling it in the boat. She's willing to plunge into the tumult of life because she knows deep within that that's where Jesus is. She's been with Jesus in spaces filled with pain, injustice, and suffering. Jeannie held out her hand to me, a reluctant disciple, as I got out of the boat and we journeyed together into unfamiliar, troubled territory where Jesus is, under the bypasses to feed the unhoused, teaching in prisons, Haitian mission trips, and serving for years at homeless missions. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched were healed. And the moving forward statement or suggestion for this Friday is, be mindful today of your willingness to go where Jesus is. The commentary for Saturday, June 8th, begins also with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 7 through 9a. "You hypocrites," Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me." Pastor Shirley would say of her sermons, "If I don't make you take a hard look at yourself, I haven't done my job. I would sit among addicts and prostitutes with my arms smugly across my chest, thinking her words were for those people, not me. One Sunday her words pierced my heart, revealing my hypocrisy and vain worship. Pastor Shirley's words, God's words, were for me to hear. My prideful heart was far from God. Jesus' words bared the Pharisees' hypocrisy. Their defiled hearts were defiling their values, words, and actions. I would like to believe that at some level, at least one Pharisee realized Jesus' words were for him. For me, it's vital what happens when I realize my heart is defiled. That's when God's teaching moments appear. It's when God reconstructs the fragments of my shattered self into a new wholeness. It's when I hear God's words for me with a new heart and move forward. And now I'll read the full gospel for today, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is given to God,' then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts and doctrines.'" Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, are Jesus' words for you or for those people? Now, as we near the end of the program for this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, June 9th. It is the third Sunday of Pentecost. And the commentary begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence." When Grandma got out flour and her mixing bowls, I knew what was to come. On one such day, Grandma called my friend Stevie and me in from the snowy cold into her kitchen's warmth, the glorious smell of freshly baked bread, the sight of bread slices dribbling with butter at places already set for us. It was heaven for 2 7-year-olds. Later in the day, 4 friends mysteriously appeared at our back door. Grandma didn't hesitate to set their places at the table, offering her grace to more. I love Paul's certitude. Although not seen, he knows what is to come. With his outer self in decline, Paul's focus is on the inner spiritual self renewed each day. Paul's grace extends to others, encouraging them to take heart, for God has set an eternal place for them alongside Jesus. Grandma's kitchen breathed an air of loving certitude that fortified me then and still does, a certitude where I know, when called, that eternal grace is to come. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. For we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, June 9th, is, do you share Paul's certitude? If so, how? And that concludes all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weights of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.